sister. And the fly in the ointment is going to bring the whole thing down.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So on Thursday, I understand the person that is nominated for Secretary of the Treasury going to kind of have his day in hearing, if you will. And lots of things swirling around about Steve Mnuchin. This idea that his banks didn't make loans to minorities, this idea that he was a foreclosure machine, kicking people out of their homes. Why? More for him. Well, you know, not less for you, obviously. A good banker, if you will. Is this the guy we want as Treasury Secretary? That's one of the questions. I'm here to answer some of our thought questions on Steve Mnuchin as Treasury Secretary. I've asked Sarah Edelman. She's the Director of Housing Policy at the Center for American Progress. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I look at this guy, you know, a Wall Street insider, big banker, you know, profited wildly off of others' misery. What's wrong with that?
Oh, man. I mean, I think that Senator Sherrod Brown summed it up last week when he said, you know, the president-elect isn't draining the swamp. He's putting alligators in it. This guy is definitely an alligator. It is troubling to think about him being in charge of ensuring an economy that works for all.
Now, you know, there's been some reports that maybe he was engaging in redlining, something that I had thought we had done away with or had hoped we had. Any validity to those comments?
Well, there's an investigation underway right now, but yet we've seen a real increase in redlining since the crisis. So if the allegations are true, you know, it would be this definitely has been a troubling trend we've seen among a number of banks since the crisis of, you know, not really doing what they're supposed to do, not really lending.
Yeah, one of the reports I saw actually said that Mnuchin's bank was one of the worst of the worst when looking at the number of minority applicants who actually got loans.
That's right. The reports about, you know, on his activity in Southern California have been really troubling and build, you know, and are consistent with some of what we have heard about, what his bank did with foreclosing on thousands of people, and many of them were seniors.
Wow. But here's the thing. I mean, you know, the frame, if you remember 2008 and into 2009, was all the people who were losing their home were just those people. You can you know, fill in who those people are. And many of the same kind of radical, you know, racist mentality folks who are saying, you know, it's those people who collapsed the economy seem to now be in charge or moving towards being in charge of our government.
You know, the whole those people, when you've got 8 million people who lost their homes to foreclosure, it gets exhausting hearing conversations about those people. And when you look at the bank that Mnuchin bought, IndyMac, he bought IndyMac during the, you know, the depths of the crisis, and then renamed it One West, and then proceeded to foreclose on most of the folks who'd gotten loans from IndyMac. And you look at those loans that IndyMac made, and those were loans that were not designed to succeed. The kinds of loans where interest rates would just spike up before you know it, and products that didn't really end up being what they were advertised to be. And what's particularly troubling to me about this nominee is, you know, one of the first things he said after receiving the nomination was that he wanted to roll back Dodd-Frank. You know, those are the mortgage protections we put in place to prevent the kinds of crises we saw before and the foreclosures that we saw before. And it was, you know, even more damning than his lackluster career history was, you know, what he says he wants to do when he takes the position.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he's a banker first and foremost. And this is part of my problem with him, is that what's good for a banker is not good for societies, so to speak. And my frustration is we're gonna give him the tools to do everything that he had ever wanted, and it's not going to benefit we the people in my view in any way, shape, or form.
You know, it's a good point, Rick. I mean, I think that one thing that, you know, Mnuchin has proved himself, he's proved able to make himself rich. Yep. But there's nothing about his time at One West or leading Financial Freedom, which is a company that made reverse mortgages to seniors, nothing about his work there that that gives any confidence that he has the ability to make anybody else rich, or aside from his friends. You know, he hasn't led companies that, you know, made things, or, you know, that are promising industries. He, with millions of dollars, he was a multimillionaire, and he could do anything in the world. And what he chose to do was to buy a bank that would require, you know, it was basically what he chose to do was start a foreclosure business. And, you know, there's nothing about his career performance that shows him as demonstrating any experience in making anybody else well, aside from himself and his friends, well off.
Did he do anything illegal, though? I mean, this is part of my problem with putting someone like Mnuchin in charge of an agency like Treasury, is that, you know, look, he may not have done anything illegal, but he really kind of pushed some of the rules and created an environment where he succeeded while many others failed.
That's right. You know, and I think there are some allegations that he did, that his bank did engage in illegal activity in California. That's, you know, the company has really argued against those allegations. But even if there was nothing illegal, you know, there are. I've heard his bank say we were just following the rules. Yep. And one example here that I think is important. You look at reverse mortgages. So reverse mortgages, those are, you know, products that senior citizens take out. They tap into their equity. Senior citizens who are cash poor but have a home, and so they get a reverse mortgage to begin drawing on their home equity. And they're important products, but there's a lot of corruption in this particular industry. And, you know, one example of where his bank went wrong is when someone gets one of these mortgages, they are supposed to continue to pay taxes and interest,
right.
And insurance on their home. And sometimes they don't know it. Sometimes it lapses. Most companies will, if you lapse on those payments, they'll allow you to do a payment plan. And, you know, HUD allows that in the regulations. Freedom Financial rarely, you know, oftentimes did not offer senior citizens the ability to make any kind of plan to pay back those, you know, to pay their taxes and insurance. And a lot of them lost their homes because of it. So that's an area where HUD didn't require that they offer a payment plan, but it was the right thing to do. Others did it. And then Freedom Financial had a choice to be able to do it. And they made a business decision not to. And so that's the kind of judgment, you know, that's the kind of judgment that he's displayed.
And that's my exact point. Do I want somebody who is purely thinking of hooray for me and the heck with everybody else in charge of an agency that's supposed to be thinking about everybody else?
Rick, I think the answer is absolutely not. I think it's frightening. I mean, I don't want to have – I'm not trying to make personal attacks on Steve Mnuchin, but this is about, you know, who's fit for one of the most important jobs in the government. This is the person that, God forbid, if our economy goes – if our financial markets collapse, he's going to be the one at that table – figuring out how to keep us from hitting, you know, having a great recession.
Yeah.
And there's been nothing through his record that's demonstrated that he'll have America's families at him at that table.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and I've had a number of my right-wing friends say, well, you know, he wasn't really a big fish on Wall Street. He's a minor player, and I'm going, well, you know, look, he's still going to be doing their bidding, and that's a very frustrating thing. Because here's my other question. What qualifications does this guy have to be Treasury Secretary? What experience does he bring that is going to run that organization in a way that if and when the next collapse happens, we're going to be able to respond?
I don't think he brings experience. He has he's managed smallish size companies. He's never managed the, you know, 80,000 a staff of 80,000 like you have to manage a Treasury. He has no government experience, and the businesses that he, you know, he's a trader. He's a deal guy, but he hasn't really, you know, he has not demonstrated the ability to, you know, to really do anything that helps anybody else.
And I'll be honest.
And you know, and one just illustration of why this role is so important is, you know, to your point, you know, one of the first comments he made when he was nominated, or when the nomination was announced, he said he was going to take Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac out of government control. He's going to privatize them. Now that's a whole policy discussion for another day, but just to illustrate the power of his position, that day Fannie Mae shares were up by 40%. Steve Mnuchin has investments with John Paulson's hedge fund, you know, between $1 and $2 million. John Paulson has, you know, made the biggest bets in town on Fannie and Freddie being reprivatized and taken out of government control. So even though he plans to divest, you know, theoretically, he's probably already made a good bit of money, and his friends have already made a good bit of money. So the Treasury position has enormous amount of power and can do enormous favors for Wall Street, not to mention that they're the head tax collector. So if you think about how we have a president-elect who has not yet disclosed his tax returns and is under audit, his good friend Steve Mnuchin is going to be in charge of all that.
Yeah, and from what Newt Gingrich said, he can just pardon himself and everybody else and it'd be fine. Because the president has that power, evidently. But in looking at Mnuchin here, I mean, the thing that bothers me is that, you know, again, the few regulations that were put into place after the great collapse, because I was somebody who said at the minimum we should be going back to Glass-Steagall and breaking up and having a clear demarcation line between gambling and boring banking. I look at this guy as one of those gamblers who would say, no, let's take granny's pension money and let's gamble that in the market.
Absolutely, you're right on target, and that's why the comments that he made right after his nomination was announced, where he said he was gonna, you know, get rid of big parts of Dodd-Frank, were really concerning. He was asked specifically on the Volcker Rule, which was sort of, you know, what we ended up with to try and prevent some of this gambling. And he said it's too complicated. We need to, you know, he didn't say we need to get rid of it, but he didn't commit to what within Dodd-Frank he was going to get rid of. But he said it was going to be his primary regulatory goal was to get rid of big parts of Dodd-Frank.
Nice. So I guess like six to eight years, we can expect another massive housing collapse and more wealth, you know, going one way. I guess we can expect that.
I mean, there's just if the American people and Congress get historical amnesia, yeah. I mean, we didn't end up with 2008, you know, without some real deregulation. And if we unlearn very quickly all these lessons from the great collapse, sure, we could end up there.
Beautiful. Last question. Any chance of stopping this nomination? I mean, you can't stop all of the monsters filling the swamp, but this is one particularly, look, a lot of targets here.
There's a, you know, I we'll have to watch. I think there is a real effort to try and stop this one, and I think that there, you know, I think there are a lot of Republicans who are not, you know, who may not think that he is equipped to lead. We'll see how they vote, but you know, this can't. This guy is made by Wall Street, and I think that there are American people are tired of it.
Well, it'll be an interesting hearing on Thursday. Cannot wait. Sarah, I appreciate the time and the thoughts.
Thank you.
Great talking with you, Sarah Edelman, Director of Housing Policy there at the Center for American Progress. You want to check out their work? We've got a link at therickssmithshow.com. Just click on Sarah's name. Take you right there. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.